Lord, as we study this passage together, may we learn more of who you are and who we are in Christ. Amen. We're halfway through a series of talks on the Joseph story, Genesis 37 through to the end. A quick recap. Joseph had 11 brothers. He and Benjamin, they shared the same mother, Rachel, who their father, Jacob, loved. Because of this, those two were his favourites, especially Joseph, who was spoilt rotten. The other brothers, they resented him for this. And when he began to boast about dreams he had, in which they were all bowing down to him, that was it. They pushed him into a pit, left him for dead, before deciding to sell him into slavery instead. Went home and spun their father a tale, and then just got on with their lives. That was brutal. Unknowing to them, Joseph later became the governor of the whole of Egypt, a very powerful man. 22 years after he was sold, there was a famine in the land. So those same brothers travelled from Canaan into Egypt to buy grain, stood before the governor. Now Joseph was dressed as an Egyptian and spoke through an interpreter, so they had no idea who he was. He gave them a hard time before giving them grain and sending them on their way. As the famine continued, they needed to take another trip back into Egypt. Today's passage, chapter 44, picks that story up just as they're about to head back home following that second visit. I'd like us to firstly, by looking at Joseph, explore the topic of forgiveness. Now, his great-grandfather was Abraham, grandfather Isaac, his dad was Jacob. What a family line. And Joseph, we read, he knew the Lord was with him. Chapter 39, verse 3. Even so, getting his head around what those brothers did, the trauma, it could not have been easy. But in Egypt, he did learn something of forgiveness, of how to forgive. When Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of sexual assault, chapter 39, verse 17. Then there was a cupbearer who, upon release from prison, totally forgot about him. Chapter 40, verse 23. Joseph named his firstborn son Manasseh, which means God has made me forget all my suffering. Chapter 41. Verse 51. Meeting his brothers, though, that first time, hearing their voices again must have been difficult. Enough to open up old wounds. Joseph, he accuses them of being spies, then throws them into prison. Chapter 42, verse 16. Forgiveness is far from easy, even for Abraham's great-grandson. Corrie ten Boom, you may know her name. She wrote a book called Thank You, The Hiding Place, Right. Well, she and her family, they helped Jewish people escape the Nazis until she was caught. And then in 1944, she was sent to Ravensbrück, a German prison camp for women. It was really harsh there. She suffered at the hands of the guards. Many perished. She survived. After the war, she travelled around preaching about God's love and forgiveness. That's so amazing. At a church meeting, a man walked up to her and she recognised his face. He had been one of the former SS guards at Ravensbrück. He said, "Thank you for your message that God has washed my sins away." Corrie struggled, but eventually she shook his hand. Testimonies like this are there to encourage us. In our story, Joseph releases his brothers from jail, but keeps Simeon back. Why he in particular was singled out, we're just not told. Joseph, Corrie, you and I, we can all struggle to forgive another because of the hurts, the pain, the anger, from whatever has gone on, from the trivial through to the stuff that's life-changing. Contrary to a misconception believed by some, you can forgive and still seek justice. Forgive and break from an unhealthy relationship. Because to forgive another is something that takes place between us and the Lord. After today's service, I'm going into work. And one of the first things I'll be doing is taking part in a mediation meeting. Forgiveness will not be dependent on the outcome. We are all sinners, deserving the death sentence, yet Christ offers you, offers me an infinite forgiveness from the Father for eternity. The Apostle Paul writes to the early church, "Forgive as the Lord forgives you," Colossians chapter 3. Later on in our service, as we take communion, we will pray, "Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Matthew chapter 6. This is the standard. Holy Spirit is our help. What helps me is when feeling challenged, just ask this question: what would Jesus do? And remember, he chose the cross for all of us because he is love, and we are called to be imitators of him. Ephesians chapter 5. We just looked at forgiveness. In our second part, I'd like us to look at and be reminded of how the Lord, his focus is not so much on what we say or do or even how busy we are, because his interest is in our hearts. During the first visit to Egypt, Joseph overheard his brothers speak of their regret at selling him, chapter 42, 21. And he began to weep. Here in today's passage, chapter 44, he wants to know if they really meant it. This is what drives him, the motivation behind what Joseph did next. He sets the scene, using his silver cup as a prop, which is carefully placed into Benjamin's sack. Verse 2. Then shouts thieves, says verse 10, halfway down, whoever is found to have it will become my slave. The rest of you will be free from blame. And as we read, it was found with Benjamin. Now, having sold Joseph into slavery previously to gain 20 pieces of silver, he now tests them. He's saying, allow Benjamin to be taken away, and you can return to your former lives, back to your families. A similar scenario, but as before, but instead of being offered pieces of silver, they're offered their freedom here. Do you know the story of King Solomon and the two women? Each had a baby, one healthy, and the other one had died. 1 Kings chapter 3. Both swore they were the mother of the healthy one. So Solomon put them to a test, ordered that the child be cut into half and each mother given a part. At this, only one mother protested and said, give the child to the other woman. Here, see how Solomon, he drew out the truth of what was in her heart. Joseph is doing something similar here by offering his brother's freedom at the expense of Benjamin. See verse 13. At this they tore their clothes. Then they all loaded their donkeys and returned to the city, back to Egypt. Proof that they did regret selling him. They had changed. Our lives, the Lord sees everything, what we say, what we do. But he is not so concerned with what's visible, because he examines our hearts. This takes us to the final point, which is how God uses the situations we find ourselves in and uses them for good. So back to the story. Joseph's brothers had quite a journey in more ways than one. On their first visit, they get locked up. Fear for their lives, they were helpless. And it is here that they confess to each other their crime against Joseph all those years before. They say, we saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. Chapter 42. Their second visit was a contrast. They were treated like royalty. Joseph, still in disguise, he throws them a party. Chapter 43, the last sentence, see where it says, so they feasted and drank freely with him. Happy days. Now, before heading out, Joseph had prayed over them for their safety. And this was a real answer to that prayer. Have you ever asked the Lord to work in a situation and then find you received more than you could have ever even imagined? If so, you'll have an idea how they felt. But things for the brothers, as they do in life sometimes, they abruptly changed when Joseph accused them of stealing that silver cup. Look with me at their response, verse 16. "What can we say, my Lord? How can we prove our innocence? God has uncovered your servant's guilt. We are now my Lord's slaves, we ourselves and the one who was found to have the cup." The guilt Judah speaks of here is of selling Joseph. This is Joseph's brother's second confession. Now, Judah had a checkered past, and you can read all about him in chapter 38. Yet he, in our passage, from verse 18 onwards, gives a heartfelt speech. He pleads for mercy, offers himself as a substitute for Benjamin. And this prompts Joseph to disclose his true identity, which we'll be looking at next week. But see how the series of events, even though it was painful at times, those brothers had been brought to a place of repentance. Selling Joseph was brutal. Yet a forgiving God was seeking them, is seeking us today. God uses the situations we find ourselves in for good. Now, let us be clear on one thing. God does not set traps. He doesn't try and catch us out like Joseph did with his brothers. But as we've heard before, he may allow a situation to continue, doesn't intervene or waits. His timing is perfect. He sees things as they will one day be. Our experiences are all opportunities for growth. We're coming to the end now, so a very quick recap. First, we looked at how we're called to forgive one another as Christ forgives us, but saw how it's not easy. Secondly, we were reminded of how God's interest is in our hearts, and just now, how he uses the situations we find ourselves in for good. When God seems to hide his face, he's standing in the wings, willing us along as he refines us in the fire. As we are changed, as we grow towards maturity, become more like him. Thank God for Jesus Christ our King, who walks along beside us, goes before us, covers us from behind, speaking to us through his word, saying, "I will never leave you or forsake you," Deuteronomy 31. "You are mine," Isaiah 41. Let us pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our King. Show us your ways. Teach us your truths, that they may dwell richly within us, Lord. Amen.